पंजाबी গোপী श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गौर गोपीनाथ श्याम मुकुंद राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की जय वृंदावन धाम की जय मथुरा धाम की जय नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की जय जगन्नाथ पुरी धाम की जय गंगमय जमुना देवी की जय भक्ति देवी की जय तुलसी महारानी की जय समवेत भक्तवृंद की जय गौर प्रेमानंद ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड
हरे कृष्ण
All glories to the assembled devotees.
Hare Krishna.
All glories to the assembled devotees.
Hare Krishna.
All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale. Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityananda. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Charya. Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Bhaskachari Sitarya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 I should warn all of you, my computer is being repaired, and I have to be on a computer that's in the central location in the house, which means it's going to be a lot more challenge for me with background noise. I can't go to a remote location today, so I apologize for that in advance. So reading from Bhagavatam 1932. Sri Bhishma Uvacha.
Sri Bhishma Uvacha.
Okay, I practiced this tune yesterday. Timatirupa kapalpita. Srimati Upakalpita Vitrishna.
Srimati Upakalpita Vitrishna.
Bhagavati Satvata Pungave Vibhumi.
Bhagavati Satvata Pungave Vibhumi.
Svasukham Upagate Kvachit Vihartum.
Svasukham Upagate Kvachit Vihartum.
Prakritim Upeyushi Yad Bhava Pravaha.
Prakritim Upeyushi Yad Bhava Pravaha.
Iti Matir Upakalpita Vitrishna.
Iti Matir Upakalpita Vitrishna.
Bhagavati Satvata Pungave Vibhumi.
Bhagavati Satvata Pungave Vibhumi.
Svasukham Upagate Kvachit Vihartum.
Svasukham Upagate Kvachit Vihartum.
Prakritim Upeyushi Yad Bhava Pravaha.
Prakritim Upeyushi Yad Bhava Pravaha.
Hey, please chant.
Itirmati Upakalpita Vitrishna.
Iti Matir Upakalpita Vitrishna.
Bhagavati Satvata Pungave Vibhumni.
Bhagavati
Satvata Pungave Vibhumi. Svasukham Upagate Kvachit Vihartum.
Svasukham Upagate Kvachit Vihartum.
Prakritim Upeyushi Yad Bhava Pravaha.
Prakritim Upeyushi Yad Bhava Pravaha.
Pushkar, do you want to chant?
Iti Matir Upakalpita Vrishna.
Iti Matir Upakalpita Vrishna.
Bhagavati Satvati Pugave Vibhumni.
Bhagavati Satvati Pugave
Vibhumni. Svasukham Upagate Kvachit Viharatun.
Svasukham Upagate Kvachit Viharatun.
Prakritim Upeyushi Yad Bhava Pravavaha.
Prakritim Upeyushi Yad Bhava Pravaha.
Iti Matir Upakalpita Krishna.
Iti Matir Upakalpita
Krishna.
Bhagavati Satvata Pungave Vibhumi.
Bhagavati Satvata Pungave Vibhumi.
Svasukham Upagate Kvachit Vihartum.
Svasukham Upagate Kvachit Vihartum.
Prakritim Upeyushi Yad Bhava Pravaha.
Prakritim Upeyushi Yad Bhava Pravaha.
Iti Matir Upakalpita Vitrishna.
Iti
Matir Upakalpita Vitrishna.
Bhagavati Satvata Pungave Vibhumni.
Bhagavati
Satvata Pungave Vibhumni.
Svasukham
Upagate Kvachit Vihartum.
Prakritim Upeyushi Yad Bhava Pravaha.
Prakritim Upeyushi Yad Bhava Pravaha.
Shri Bhishma Uvacha.
Shri
Bhishma Uvacha.
Shri Bhishma Dev said.
Shri Bhishma Dev said.
Iti.
Iti.
Thus.
Matihi.
Matihi.
Thinking, feeling, and willing. Upakalpita.
Upakalpita.
Invested.
Invested.
Vitrishna.
Vitrishna.
Freed from all sense desires.
Free from all sense desires.
Bhagavati.
Bhagavati.
Unto the personality of Godhead.
Unto the personality of Godhead.
Satvata Pungave.
Satvata Pungave.
Unto the leader of the devotees.
Unto the leader
of the devotees.
Vibhumi.
Vibhumi.
Unto the great.
Unto the great.
Unto the great.
Swasukam.
Swasukam.
Sukam.
Self-satisfaction.
Self-satisfaction.
Upagate.
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 Unto he who has attained it.
Unto he who has attained it.
Quachit.
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 Sometimes.
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 Vihartum.
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 Out of transcendental pleasure.
Out of transcendental pleasure.
Transcendental pleasure.
Prakritim.
Prakritim.
In the material world.
In the material world.
In the material world.
Upayushi.
Upayushi.
Do accept it.
Do accept it.
Accept it.
Yat Bhava.
Yat Bhava.
Bhava.
From whom the creation.
From whom the creation.
Pravaha.
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 Is made and annihilated.
Is made and annihilated. Prabhus, we have over 24 devotees on right now, and most of you, about 14, are on Skype directly. So please, we need everybody, especially on Skype, to mute yourselves so that there's no competing noise. So if you could all please do that, and I'll take care of everybody on free conferencing. Thank you.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Bhishma Dev said, let me now invest my thinking, feeling, and willing, which were so long engaged in different subjects and occupational duties, in the all-powerful Lord Sri Krishna. He is always self-satisfied, but sometimes, being the leader of the devotees, he enjoys transcendental pleasure by descending on the material world, although from him only the material world is created. Purport. Because Bhishma Dev was a statesman, the head of the Kuru dynasty, a great general and a leader of Kshatriyas, his mind was strewn over so many subjects, and his thinking, feeling, and willing were engaged in different matters. Now, in order to achieve pure devotional service, he wanted to invest all powers of thinking, feeling, and willing entirely in the Supreme Being, Lord Krishna. He is described herein as the leader of the devotees and all-powerful. Although Lord Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, he descends himself on earth to bestow upon his pure devotees the boon of devotional service. He descends sometimes as Lord Krishna as he is and sometimes as Lord Chaitanya. Both are leaders of the pure devotees. Pure devotees of the Lord have no desire other than the service of the Lord, and therefore they are called Satvata. So just a note here, because Sat means eternal or real. So those who have no interest other than the Lord, in other words, who have no interest other than what is eternal and real, are called Satvata. Going on with the purport. The Lord is the chief among such Satvatas. Bhishma Dev, therefore, had no other desires. Unless one is purified from all sorts of material desires, the Lord does not become one's leader. I'm going to read that again. Unless one is purified from all sorts of material desires, the Lord does not become one's leader. Desires cannot be wiped out, but they have only to be purified. It is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita by the Lord himself that he gives his instructions from within the heart of a pure devotee who is constantly engaged in the service of the Lord. Such instruction is given not for any material purpose, but only for going back home, back to Godhead, Bhagavad Gita 10.10, which, of course, is Tesham Satyukanam Bhajatam Prithi Purvakam. Siddhami Buddha Yogam from Yenam Amutayanti. Okay? To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Prabhupada does not quote that verse in his purport, however. He just refers to it. For the ordinary man, going on with the purport, for the ordinary man who wants to lord it over material nature, the Lord not only sanctions and becomes a witness of activities, but he never gives the non-devotee instructions for going back to Godhead. So here Prabhupada is saying the ordinary man, he wants to be the lord of material activities, so Krishna sanctions, Krishna becomes a witness, but he says he never gives the non-devotee instructions for going back to Godhead. Continuing. That is the difference in dealings by the Lord with different living beings, both the devotee and the non-devotee. He is the leader of all the living beings. As the king of the state rules both the prisoners and the free citizens. So this is interesting because previously in the purport, Prabhupada said that, go back here, and unless one is purified from all sorts of material desires, the Lord does not become one's leader. And then here later on in the purport, Prabhupada is saying that Krishna is the leader of all living entities. So he's the leader of all the living beings. And now he's giving an explanation. As the king of the state rules both the prisoners and the free citizens. But his dealings are different in terms of devotee and non-devotee. Now, Prabhupada is going to give the reason. Non-devotees never care to take any instruction from the Lord, and therefore the Lord is silent in their case, although he witnesses all their activities and awards them the necessary results, good or bad. The devotees are above this material goodness and badness. They are progressive on the path of transcendence, and therefore they have no desire for anything material. The devotee also knows Sri Krishna as the original Narayana, because Lord Sri Krishna, by his plenary portion, appears as the Karanadakashai Vishnu, the original source of all material creation. The Lord also desires the association of his pure devotees, and for them only the Lord descends on the earth and enlivens them. The Lord appears out of his own will. He is not forced by the conditions of material nature. He is therefore described here as the Vibhu, or the Almighty, for he is never conditioned by the laws of material nature. Sri Bhishma Uvacha, Iti Matir Upakalpita Vitrishna, Bhagavati Satvata Pungave Vibhumni, Swasukam Upagate Kwachid Vihartum, Prakritim Upe Yushi Tat Yad Bhava Prabaha. Bhishma Dev said, let me now invest my thinking, feeling, and willing, which were so long engaged in different subjects and occupational duties, in the all-powerful Lord Sri Krishna. He is always self-satisfied, but sometimes, being the leader of the devotees, he enjoys transcendental pleasure by descending on the material world, although from him only the material world is created. Again, I'm just going to apologize. There will probably be some children background noises because my computer is under repair. And I therefore can't be on a computer in a remote location. I have to use another machine here. So let's take a look at the Sanskrit. I'm going to look at the word that Prabhupada translates as thinking, feeling, and willing. It's matihi, which means mind. And Prabhupada's expanding that to thinking, feeling, and willing. And then let's look at the one free from all sense desires. The Sanskrit is vitrishna. Trishna means thirst. Vitrishna, without thirst. So Prabhupada is translating that as free from all sense desires. We find there's often analogies of drinking and tasting in the Shastra, which is quite interesting because generally, at least in the modern age, teaching is understood mostly through seeing and hearing and sometimes touching. We talk about the visual learner, the auditory learner, and the kinesthetic learner. We don't talk much about the gustatory learner, but we find there's a lot of gustatory analogies and language in the Shastra, especially having to do with eating and drinking. And then we find here with Krishna, swasukham. Swa means himself, sukham means satisfaction. So here Prabhupada's translating this verse that let me now invest my thinking, feeling, and willing, which are so long engaged in different subjects, in the all-powerful Lord Krishna. I should mention that this series of verses, starting with 30 and going to 42, are some of my personal favorites in the Bhagavatam. That Bhishma, the man who thought on
fought on thousands of battlefields and could speak on thousands of subjects with thousands of meanings, now invested all of his energy and focus on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this one also, that his thinking, feeling, and willing were on so many subjects. So this is our life, isn't it? I mean, even if you go, I have some friends who live in Vrindavan who are in some ways bhajananandis. They just stay in Vrindavan. Some of them have taken vows never to leave Vrindavan. They're waking up at midnight or 1 in the morning. They're chanting 64 or 120 rounds a day. They don't have much to do with the outside world. They're spending. But still, they have to take care of other things. It's not that they never have to take care of other things. They have to go shopping. They have to worry about how they're going to pay the bills. Some of them live on random donations, and they never know where their money's coming from or how much money that they're going to get. There'll be some problem with something in their home. The door is leaking. One of them was telling me, if I don't take care of it now, it's going to get worse and the whole building will fall apart. And then one of these people that I know is always going to the holy places to collect mud and dust and leaves and things like that, which he then packages up in nice little packages and gives to devotees. So, it's arranging. You've got to arrange for a car or a rickshaw, and then you've got to go to this place, and there's this problem. And there's so many dealings with the general world. I mean, how do you go to a place? The yogis used to sometimes go to the Himalayas, and they would go in a cave. So they would separate themselves entirely from the hustle and bustle. Right? We know that some of our devotees, like Satchinandan Maharaj, every Kartik, he goes to some place where hopefully nobody will disturb him, where he won't have to deal with anything like that. And he has a full-time assistant who takes care of all the material sides of life, doing the washing and doing the this and the that, so he can have 1 month of total concentration. Now, most of us don't have the luxury of doing that for a month, but even if we could do that for a month, how can you do that all the time? And you see that many devotees are trying to arrange their lives in such a way that they can do that all the time. Or they're thinking, I've been corresponding with one devotee who tells me, unless and until I give up my householder life and become a full-time devotee, there's no way that I can even engage in the basic sadhanas of 16 rounds. So there's many people who think like that, I have to put aside all of my work in the world so that there's nothing that's going to distract my thinking, feeling, and willing. Of course, we do see here that at these last moments of life, very, very last moments, I mean, we're really talking, maybe 10, 15 minutes of his life when Bhishma Dev notices that the sun has moved and that the time is auspicious to leave. At this point, he really goes into a state of samadhi on all levels. And just a few verses previously, we had him instructing Maharaj Yudhisthira on Varnashram. We had him instructing Maharaj Yudhisthira, what are the duties of the different Varnas and Ashram? What are the duties of women? I mean, these are all, in one sense, material subject matter. So even in his last days, we find this also with Maharaj Parikshit. If you look at the Bhagavatam carefully, you think, okay, Maharaj Parikshit is hearing this Bhagavatam in 7 days. And if some doctor told any of us, you have 7 days to live, we might say, okay, let me just listen to Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. Let me just listen to the portion of the Bhagavatam 10th canto that deals with the Vrindavan Leela. Let me read Ananda Vrindavan Champu. Let me listen to Prabhupada dictating the Krishna book of Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. But what is Maharaj Parikshit doing? If we look through the Bhagavatam, he's hearing about the geography of the universe. He's hearing about the women in the subterranean planets who lure men with intoxication. So why is he hearing that in the last 7 days of his life? Why is he hearing about Pururava and Urvasi? Why is he hearing about the rotations of Mars and Venus? So he's hearing all those subject matters. And interestingly enough, the Bhagavatam doesn't end with Krishna's Vrindavan Leela. Right? Krishna's Vrindavan Leela is there in the 10th canto. Then we go on to Dwarka Leela. And then the 11th canto has a lot of gyan in it. It's very much like the Bhagavad Gita, but with more gyan. And then you have the 12th canto. You have the description of Kali Yuga. So Maharaj Parikshit in the last 7 days of his life is also hearing so many subject matters. So although we find in the Bhagavatam, of course, descriptions of great personalities who in the last years of their life detached themselves from everyone. Kasyapa Muni is an example. Lord Rishabhdev is an example. King Malayadwaj. I'm sure there's many, many more. I'm sure we could compile a long list of those persons. Devahuti also, Kunti, Gandhari, all those persons, both men and women, who at the end of their lives spent weeks or months or even years in the situation that Bhishma Dev is describing here, where they invested all of their thinking, feeling, and willing completely without material desires in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Our instructions from Srila Prabhupada are to be active preachers in the world. Srila Prabhupada did not encourage Bhajananandi. In fact, it was only one devotee to whom he gave Babaji initiation, and that didn't work out very well. That devotee was supposedly in his last days of life, and then as soon as he recovered, he gave up his Babaji, went back to his wife, and left Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada very much encouraged us to preach, and we see Srila Prabhupada's example that in his very last days, when basically he was at the point of death, he traveled to London for preaching with the idea of traveling to America. Well, of course, then he went back to Vrindavan, and what was he doing in Vrindavan? What he was doing in Vrindavan was translating Bhagavatam. Of course, at that point, he was on the 10th canto. The last chapter he translated was 10th canto, chapter 13. But you find that even there, Srila Prabhupada is speaking about things such as Varnashrama. Srila Prabhupada is not just talking about Krishna with Radharani and Krishna with Madhu Mangal and Krishna with Mother Yasoda. So this is very interesting that this is what Srila Prabhupada has asked of us. Srila Prabhupada has asked of us to be active in the world, and even if Srila Prabhupada didn't ask that of us, most of us aren't capable of doing something else. If you may try for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months to separate yourself from the world and just chant and hear and do nothing else, but most of us don't have that kind of mental strength. We actually need some active engagement, and Prabhupada wanted us to have an active engagement, not just for our own needs, but also for the good of the world. So the perpetual question is, okay, well, in my busy practical life, I know I've got to deal with a building contractor, or I've got to deal with a lost credit card in the mail, or I got to deal with a broken computer, or I have to deal with tired children screaming at night, or I have to deal with some devotee in the temple that's driving me crazy, or I have to deal with some disease in my body, or so many things that we may have to deal with in the world. I have to make a living. I have to go to work and deal with the non-devotees at work, or I'm getting an education and I have to deal with the crazy professors. How can I be Krishna conscious? How can I be Krishna conscious? How can I be totally absorbed in Krishna consciousness? So Bhishma Dev is one of our prime examples, and being a Mahajana, it makes sense that he would be one of our prime exemplars and examples of how to do this. How to lead a very busy life. What a busy life. A great general, a leader of the Kshatriyas, head of the Gurukul dynasty. He had so many responsible duties, so many things he had to be concerned about in the kingdom and in the family, probably much more than any of us ever consider. So let's take a look at this. Let's look at this thinking, feeling, and willing, first of all. And Srila Prabhupada often gives this as the actions of the mind, or the actions of the subtle body. We're going to explore this a lot more on Saturday when we discuss different levels and types of chanting. We have a handout for Saturday's class, which you can get from the website. This thinking, feeling, and willing definitely corresponds to different levels of speech that are described in the 11th canto and some of the other Puranas and Itihasas. And that is that there's the feeling level is happening in the heart. It's called pasyantivak, the voice of vision, the voice of desire, feeling and desire. What do I desire? What's my vision for my life? What pictures do I have for the futures that I would like to achieve? Then thinking is what's happening, the little voice in the mind that's going, for me in English, maybe for some of you in Hindi or in Russian or in Slovakian or Hungarian or whatever language, that's going all day. That's the thinking. That's called the voice of the mind, or the Madhyamavak, the middle voice. And then willing is the happens on the gross bodily level, just like in speaking so that others hear the sound. That's called the vaikari vak. So there's our inner desires. And it's interesting here, the word is trishna, our inner thirsts, what we are thirsting for. I'm sure we've all had experience that thirst is generally much more demanding than hunger, unless you haven't eaten for a very long time. It's a very strong urge, the urge to drink, the thirst. It's demanding. It's overwhelming. That if you're very thirsty, I must get something to drink. I must get something to drink. So this is the level of our desires, our feelings. I have to meet my basic needs, right? And needs have been developed and expanded and analyzed in many ways, right? Maslow has his hierarchy of needs. Marshall has his different categories of needs. But we want to meet our needs. Going back to our classes on Ishopanishad, to feel complete, right? When we connect water with our thirst, then we feel a sense of completeness and satisfaction. So that's the level of our feeling. Our feeling is that of desires. Prabhupada talks in this purport about desires. Desires are the particular ways in which I hope to meet my needs. You know, we get more specific. You know, I want to buy a new chair, or I want to meet the perfect girl and get married, or I want a good degree. Those are the things that we call desires. And those desires are simply the means of satisfying this thirst. Then our thinking is we're making plans. I'm going to satisfy this desire in this way. I'm going to meet the perfect girl by going on this devotee website, and I'll look at all the profiles and I'll find her out. Or I'm going to get money by investing in the stock market, and I'm going to read a book and buy a special program that'll help me do the best stocks, or something like that. You know, I'm going to research on the internet what's the best pair of shoes, and then I'm going to buy them. So that's our thinking. Then willing is what we actually do. Willing is what we actually do. Now, although in this case I'm putting feeling first, we actually don't do any willing without immediately have a feeling before that. So things start from feeling. They start from the level of thirst and the level of desire. Then they go to the level of thinking, and then they go back to the level of feeling. This is psychological study, and it's also, I'm getting this from a letter that Prabhupada wrote to Kirti Raj about sex desire. He says, you may think of sex. It's funny, he said, thinking of sex is also illicit sex. He said, but how can we stop thinking of sex? He said, but don't bring it to the feeling and willing level. That some thought may enter the mind, Prabhupada said, even for great personalities, thoughts enter the mind. But you want to prevent it from coming to the feeling level and then to the willing level. So before we have any action, there's always a feeling. So the beginning of our actions is a feeling, and then right before our actions is a feeling, and in the middle is thinking, and it may also be mixed, of course, with some feeling. But our material desires, our material thoughts, and our material actions are all based on thirst. They're all based on a feeling of thirst, on a feeling of emptiness, on a feeling of aching, of need. If you can just think for a minute of when you were last thirsty, what does that feel like? What is the physical experience of thirst? So all of our material desires are like that. There's something missing that I must connect with, that I have to connect with. Whereas we see in contrast that Krishna is swa-sukham, self-satisfaction. He doesn't need to connect with anything else in order to feel happy. For myself, in order to slake my thirst, I have to connect with water. In order to satisfy my hunger, I have to connect with food. In order to satisfy my sex desire, I have to have a relationship with another person. In order to set, you know, whatever, in order to satisfy my desire for knowledge, I have to read someone's book or go to someone's class. I have to somehow bring something to me. I'm not complete. Whereas Krishna has self-satisfaction. Of course, the irony is that the jiva can also have satisfaction. The jiva can also be described as atmarama, self-satisfied, or swastukam, one's happiness is coming from within. And even the mystic yogis can achieve this to a large extent. So we find someone like Hiranyakashipu through mystic yoga. He was able to stay in his bones without eating or drinking. Dhruva Maharaj, of course, Dhruva Maharaj didn't get down to the bones. We found that he was able to keep his body healthy without eating or drinking. Of course, he did still have to breathe once a month or something like that. Even then, such yogis are not doing it entirely from themselves. Generally, they're getting prana from the sunlight or something like that. But we find that even through mystic yoga, one can achieve some level of self-satisfaction. And the residents of the higher planets, as it's described in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, they are Atmarama and Aptakama. Aptakama means whatever desires they have, they can fulfill from their own energy. Now, why is this? This is true because we are all part of it, and we have Krishna's qualities to a minute degree. And therefore, as soon as we are reconnected with Krishna, then again we can be described as Atmarama and Aptakama. Now, this is really the platform that we want to come to. We want to come to this platform of Atmarama and Aptakama, where we're not dependent, as Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita. Such a person is not dependent on any other living being. That we're not dependent on the circumstances of our life, we're not dependent on the other people of our life for our sukham. That's where we want to go. Now, most of us feel that I can only be happy if my wife deals with me in this way. I can only be happy if my husband does this. I can only be happy if this happens. I can only be happy if I get this. I can only be happy if I live here. That's called conditional. I have conditions for my happiness. Now, the unfortunate thing is that I can't control those conditions. I can't control how my husband acts. I can't control the weather. I can't control whether the thing I ordered comes in the mail. I can't control if when it comes it's the right thing or it's complete. I can't control any of those things. You know, and the materialist is putting all their energy into trying to control those things, and even the mystic yogi is trying to control those things on a subtle platform. But that's not the way of the devotee. The way of the devotee is self-satisfied from within by connection with Krishna. And when one is self-satisfied from within, then there's no more thirst. Now, does that mean there's no more desires? No. As Prabhupada explains in the purport, there's still desires. But those desires are not on the platform of thirst. Vitrishna. Those desires are on the platform of satisfaction. Now, you can say, well, wait a minute. If you're satisfied, why would you have any desires? But we hear the example of Krishna, that Krishna, although he's self-satisfied, kvachit, sometimes, vihartum, out of transcendental pleasure, prakritim, in the material world. So sometimes, for his own happiness, he comes to the material world. You know, we can have everything we need and be fully satisfied, and we can still do something for fun. I'm reading a book about how to have change in yourself and organizations. And it talks about how we often try to change others through negative emotions. You know, if you don't change this, you're going to be punished. And it was making the point that when we're feeling negative emotions, it's like we have blinders on. You know, if you're running away from a robber in a dark alley, you forget about your to-do list. It said, but when we're feeling very joyful, we're very expansive and creative. And it was interesting. It said, we want to play. And I thought, yes, that's Krishna. He's full of joy. And therefore he wants to play, not out of any kind of thirst or lack, but simply because joy brings you that kind of expansion. So when one is full with Krishna, one is connected with Krishna, then one is connected with that self-satisfaction. And then one's desires are no longer coming from thirst. They're coming from a playfulness. They're coming from a joyfulness. Therefore, one on that platform can actually have loving relationships. Until we're on that platform, our relationships are not loving. Our relationships are based on our own thirst. And I'm using other people like water to quench my thirst. That's not exactly love. That's something else. But if my thirst is already satisfied from within, then my relationships with others are just playful and joyful. We saw this with Srila Prabhupada. How Srila Prabhupada's relationships with others were on the platform of play and joyfulness, not on exploitation. Of course, people are afraid Well, if I'm self-satisfied, then I won't have the desire for relationships anymore. I won't have the desire to work in the world. I just become lazy. This is the arguments of the mind. But no, one will have a desire to do these things, but for Krishna's pleasure, out of, again, out of playfulness, not out of a whip. Right? One gets rid of the six whips of hunger and thirst, even. And when one gives up these, it's interesting that these things sort of happen simultaneously. When I see that the real source of my satisfaction is connecting with Krishna, then Krishna becomes my leader. Krishna gives me direction. Right? Prabhupada also says in one of my really favorite quotes. This is in 7th canto, 1st chapter, 9th verse, where Prabhupada says, according to one's attitude, Krishna becomes one's direct advisor, or Krishna becomes unknown. That is not Krishna's partiality. It is his response to one's ability to understand him. And as we see here in this purport, where Prabhupada says, non-devotees never care to take any instruction from the Lord, and therefore the Lord is silent in their case, although he witnesses all their activities and awards them the necessary results, good or bad. So Krishna can become one's direct advisor, as it says here in this, in today's purport, Krishna becomes your leader, or Krishna becomes unknown, as Prabhupada said in the seventh canto, or in this purport, Prabhupada says, Krishna becomes silent. So part of the way also that the devotee becomes self-satisfied and free, that's liberation. Liberation means my happiness is not dependent on any of my external circumstances, is that Krishna directs one from within. One's connected with Krishna, and Krishna is giving one direction, how to attain to transcendental bliss, how to attain to transcendental freedom. As Prabhupada says, that he's not going to give you direction as to how to become entangled in the world, how to satisfy your thirst in the world. He's going to give you direction how to satisfy your thirst internally. Just like Jesus said to this woman at the well, he asked her for water, and then he said, I can give you living water. After you chase, you will never thirst again. So this is the kind of thing that we're coming to from Krishna. Like Bali said to Vamandev, he said, why don't you ask me for something so great that you'll never have to ask anyone for anything else ever? Of course, that was his pride. But Krishna can give that. Krishna can give something by which one will never have to ask anything from anyone else ever. And to whom is he going to give directions on how to do this? Only to one who wants to connect with him. And this is a very simple thing. A very simple thing. If you don't listen, if someone doesn't listen to your instructions, you become silent. I mean, we all do that if we have any sense, of course. Sometimes out of pride and stupidity, we keep trying to give instructions to somebody who's not listening. You know, I used to have a mantra as a teacher. A kid would come up and ask a question in a challenging voice, and I'd say, do you want to learn or do you want to argue? If you want to argue, I'm not interested. And to ask submissively, sadvati pranipate na pariprashnana sevya upadekshantite jnanam jnana satvadarshan. So Prabhupada says, absurd inquiries are condemned. Challenging questions that you don't really want to learn. So that's also not listening, right? Non-devotees never care to take any instruction from the Lord, and therefore the Lord is silent in your case. So, of course, one devotee was telling me how her son said to her, I would do anything Prabhupada said. If Prabhupada told me to jump off the roof, I would do it. And she said, if Prabhupada tells you to chant 16 rounds, will you do it? And he's silent. So, you know, many times it's like that. Yes, 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 you know, Krishna, I will follow your instructions. All right, you know, be compassionate to the people you live with. Oh, that's too hard. I can't do that. Right? Or, okay, you know, now you're 55, now your wife has died, don't get, or, you know, 60. I know one devotee who's like in his 60s, and now he's going to marry some 24-year-old girl after his wife has died, you know, and all of his friends said to him, okay, now you're 60. Time for renunciation. No, no, I'm not going to follow that instruction. Let me marry some 24-year-old girl. So then Krishna is silent. Of course, if we're trying to be a devotee, then Krishna will keep trying. But the less that we follow his instructions, the more silent that he is. It's a very simple principle. And I have so many times
devotees come to me with different problems, and I'll say, just ask Krishna what the real problem is, what the internal problem is, and be ready to listen. They say, how will I know it's Krishna? I'll say, you'll always know it's Krishna. First of all, it'll be in line with Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And second of all, the quality of the instruction will feel very different than the movements of the mind. And then I say, after you get this instruction from Krishna, which may come from a purport, may come from hearing a class, it may come from somebody at a bus stop in the street, then immediately the mind will jump in and say, no, that wasn't really Krishna, or that's too hard, or that's too easy, or everybody has that problem, or there'll be this problem, or that problem. And one has to say, no, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to do it. Whatever the consequences are, it doesn't matter. If I know the instruction is from Krishna, if I know it's confirmed by Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, then I'm just going to follow. And what happens if one does that is that Krishna will talk to one more and more and more. As Prabhupada says, Krishna will become one's direct advisor, or here Krishna will become one's leader. And it will get to the point that one is always in touch with Krishna. That doesn't mean, by the way, that all of Krishna's instructions will end up with nice things materially. Krishna told the cowherd boys, go beg from the brahmanas, and the brahmanas insulted them. It doesn't mean that all the instructions of Guru and Krishna are going to work out nicely on the material platform, as Prabhupada says here. If Krishna is not going to give instruction for any material purpose, but only for going back home, back to Godhead. So Krishna, Guru, Shastra, they're going to give us instructions that will bring us closer to what we really want in life, what we really need in life. They will not necessarily bring us closer to what we think we need in the material sphere. They will not necessarily fulfill our material desires, which are our foolish ways of trying to meet our actual thirst. But they will satisfy our real thirst.
All right, so how do we do this? And I wanted to refer to one of my favorite verses in reference to this Trishna or thirst. This is the verse that Jiva Goswami says is the final verse of the Bhagavatam, although it occurs in the second canto at the end of chapter 2. Pibantiye bhagavata atmana satam katam ritam shavana puteshu samritam punantite vishaya vidusita sayam brajanti tach charana saroruhantitam. Pibanti is to drink. So those who drink in the association of devotees, the katamritam, the nectarian beverage of Krishna's katha, through their ears, through the whole of their ears, they will give up this vishaya, material enjoyment, and tach charana saroruhantitam. They will find the lotus feet of the Lord. All right. So now we know what we have to do. We know that we have to connect with Krishna by following his instructions, by drinking the Shastra. All right, but wait a minute. The beginning of this class was, how do we do this when we're busy in the world? How do we do this when our thinking, feeling, and willing is so-called strewn over so many subject matter? So this, of course, Krishna gives in chapter 8, text 7. And it's interesting. It's interesting that we have in chapter 8, text 6, yam yam vapi saram bhavam twajachante kalevaram tam tam evaiti kantaya sadatad bhava bhavita. Whatever you think about when you die, that's the state you'll get. And this is, of course, very relevant to our present class because Bhishma is dying. And then the next verse, does Krishna then say, okay, give up all the other things you're doing, go to a secluded place and just think of me? In fact, Krishna already advised that in the sixth chapter, and Arjuna rejected it. But no, he says here in Bhagavad Gita 8:7, mam anusmaram yudhya cha. Think of me while you're fighting. Think of me while you're fighting. Ah, how interesting. So this is what Bhishma did. Although Bhishma had to have his thinking, feeling, and willing in so many different areas, he never did so on the level of Trishna, of material thirst. He did so from the level of freedom, being self-satisfied by connecting with Krishna. And that's exactly what Krishna advises Arjuna also. First connect with me. First be linked with me in yoga. Then you can think of me while you're fighting. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed us that the great devotees have three levels of consciousness. internal, external, and mixed internal and external. So in internal consciousness, the devotee is totally absorbed in thoughts of Krishna to the point that they lose all awareness of external sense objects. In the Eightfold Yoga system, this is called Pratyahara. We all experience this on a material level to some point when we're in deep sleep. So in deep sleep, the actions of the mind have basically stopped. We're functioning in deep sleep on the intelligence platform. Now, for those of us who aren't aware of the intelligence platform, it seems as if nothing is happening. And we have no awareness of any sense objects. We have no awareness of any sounds, of any sights, of anything, of touch. This happens also, of course, if one is put under some sort of anesthesia. So this is the state of samadhi. And as we discussed last Saturday, there's two kinds of samadhi, one that's on the material platform and one that's on the spiritual platform. So whether one is at the point of the material platform, which goes up to the state of ashakti, or whether one is on in the samadhi on the fully spiritual platform, which is the state of bhava and prema, still internal consciousness, either way, either if it's still on the platform of the subtle body or if it's fully on the platform of the spiritual body, that is internal consciousness. One's not even aware. Again, we all have some experience of this. You know, I'm reading a book and I don't hear what somebody says to me. I'm not even aware. Or the examples given in the 11th canto of the arrow maker. So he's so busy making his arrows, he doesn't notice that the king's procession passes by. He doesn't stand up to receive the king. That kind of absorption. Now, of course, when you have that kind of absorption, then you can't be doing things in the world. So there's also external consciousness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would exhibit external consciousness, especially when the devotees from Bengal would come to Jagannath Puri, and when they would go back to Bengal, and this is in his last days, his last years, he would go into internal or mixed consciousness. Mixed consciousness is I'm partially aware of the externals and taking care of the externals, and I'm also really absorbed internally. But even in external consciousness, the devotee never forgets Krishna. The devotee never forgets Krishna. Prabhupada would say, I cannot remember a moment when I was not Krishna conscious. And I saw this with my daughter before she got married, before she even met her husband. She just saw his picture and was talking to him on the phone. And she said that even when she was teaching science class and math class in the Gurukula, which require a lot of thinking and feeling, that still she was always thinking, oh, I'm going to marry this man, or I'm going to marry this man. I'm sure, again, we all have that experience. You know, we're getting ready to go to Vrindavan in a week. And although we're still going to our job and we're still doing this and we're still doing that, we're thinking, okay, I've got to pack this thing. What am I going to see in Vrindavan? Am I going to go to Mansarovar? Am I going to go to Radhakund? So that's even if we're really in external consciousness, there still can be some concentration of thought of Krishna. At the same time, if one's thinking about Krishna, one longs to be fully in internal consciousness. And this is what Bhishma is saying here. He's saying, you know, I really want to be totally in internal consciousness now. I have no more business in this world. My service to the Lord here in this world is done. Let me be fully in an internal state. So this is the guideline for our life. That we do the work that's given to us by Krishna. We do the work that's given to us by Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. We surrender to the instructions of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, even when we think there may be some, you know, terrible thing. Oh, if I actually give up my envy, what terrible thing will happen? If I speak nicely to my husband, what terrible thing will happen? If I'm compassionate, what terrible thing will happen? If I'm properly situated in Varna and Ashrama, what terrible thing will happen? Etc. And we surrender according to our position. According to our level of advancement, we actually accept Krishna as our leader. And we dedicate everything to Guru and Krishna. We dedicate everything to the Vaishnavas. We stay connected with Krishna. And we make an effort to be connected with Krishna internally so that all of our desires are met internally and we become self-satisfied. In this way, and only in this way, can one give up material desires, not by repression. And when we find we have material desires, when we find we're looking for external ways of slaking our thirst, we remind ourselves, all my needs can be met with Krishna and only with Krishna. Let me connect with Krishna. When we find ourselves getting angry, getting frustrated that our desires are not met externally. And in the course of our activities, we focus on always remembering Krishna. And we have at least sometimes every day when we go as deep into internal consciousness as possible during the kirtan, during the Bhagavatam class, during our japa, during our private study. We attempt as far as possible to be with rapt attention, to be chanting, to be hearing on the level of thinking, feeling, and willing, which, as I say, I'll discuss more on Saturday. To be chanting not just with our mouth, but to be chanting with our mind and to be chanting with our desires. To be hearing not just with our ears, but to be hearing with our mind, to be hearing with our desires. And eventually to be doing all of our service like that. To be doing our service not just with our body, but with our mind and with our heart. As Prabhupada was asked in Hawaii, is it easier to make advancement living in the temple? Prabhupada said, that depends on whether his mind is on another subject matter. So as soon as I pick up my beads, the next time we touch our japa beads, where is my thinking, feeling, and willing? The next time we hear some instruction from the shastra, from the devotees, from within the heart, from the guru, let me understand this instruction and do it. Let Krishna worry about the consequences. Sarva dharman prachaja mame kam sharanam raja aham tvam sarva papevjo moksha yishyami masucha. Without fear. Whenever I find myself wanting something in this world, becoming afraid that I won't get it, becoming angry that I don't get it, the next time that I feel like that, to say, oh yes, Krishna is going to meet all of my needs. I am actually Krishna's servant. I am not these other upadis. Let me again reconnect with Krishna. Let me feel Krishna in my heart. Let me get my satisfaction from Krishna. Then Krishna will become our direct advisor. Krishna will become our leader. Krishna will personally appear before us, not only at the time of death, but at so many points in our lives. And when he no longer wants us to do the external things of this world, he will also let us go totally, 100% of the time, into internal consciousness, forgetting all of our upadis and all of the difficulties of this world and entering into his eternal abode. So I hope the noise level wasn't too bad here. Somehow the baby didn't come out into this room while I was talking. Amazing. But we can take a little time for questions.
You can unmute yourself.
Everyone on free conferencing, you're already unmuted. Anything, Prabhu?
Thank you for a great class, Mataji. I love that the focus was on internal. A lot of times we just do external things and try to avoid this and that, but if the internal dialogue is somehow the same, then we cannot modify our behavior. Haribol.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you very much for a wonderful class. In the beginning of the class, you were mentioning that Krishna is becoming our devotee's leader, and also Prabhupada mentioned that he's leader of everyone. I just maybe wanted more clarification about how it is.
So Krishna is giving direction to everyone. But for somebody who's not willing to follow his instructions, all Krishna's doing is sanctioning their material desires. He has to sanction their material desires, otherwise they can't get it. So, you know, if I want whatever I want to do, Krishna has to say, okay, you can do it. You know, he's the controller. So he sees what we're doing, he sees what we want, and he allows us to get what we want. But it may not be what's good for us. It may not be something that will actually help us. So, of course, Krishna is giving direction in the Shastra, and the Shastra is available to everybody on the planet. If not the Vedic Shastras, the Bible, the Quran, some Shastra is available to people, everybody. I mean, even the Aborigines have some kind of religion. So he's giving some sort of direction, but he's not personally directing from within the heart to somebody who's not willing to listen. And the more you're willing to listen, proportionally, the more that Krishna will give you the instruction that will help you get what you really want. As Prabhupada says, proportionately and gradually. So, you know, if I have a student and they listen to me a little bit, I'll instruct them a little bit. If they listen to me a little more, I'll instruct them a little more. Right? And if they don't listen to me at all, then I become silent. You know, that's pretty simple. So, and if someone listens completely, then you really give your heart. Right?
Okay.
Then you're ready to give everything.
Hi, Krishna Mataji. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Sorry, there might be some noise in the background here. Thank you so much for your nice class and sending this comment on the request of Prabhuji want me to speak here, give my comment and ask you a question also. One of the thing was I came in a little late, but I caught the part slightly where you mentioned the four levels of sound. And it's from the 11th canto, Vaikari and...
Yes.
So I didn't know if you mentioned all of them. I missed it. Did you mention all of them, kind of?
I did not mention
okay. Okay, great. Anyway, some time ago I did a class and I was also explaining those four levels of sound, but not many devotees are aware of it. And I'm happy that you bringing it up. So, you know, the more we hear, the more familiar, you know, people become. And obviously it's very good to hear those information, and especially like the part where you mentioned about the last verse on the 11th canto about Sankirtan, which means Sankirtan is in every yug. If it is in the Bhagavatam, not just Kali Yug, it's there in every yug in the last verse. So that's a very important verse to make note of. But I wasn't aware that it's also there in the second canto. If you don't mind, can you send me the reference of the second canto of that? I'd appreciate that very much. If you can just text it. I mean, sorry, there's some noise in the background there. I don't know who that was. If you don't mind putting it in there.
237.
Okay, 2237. Excuse me, I don't know where that noise is coming from. Hello, are you there? Can you still hear me? Hello, Hare Krishna? Hare Krishna, can you hear me?
She just texted in.
Okay, am I still on?
Yes, you're still on.
Okay, all right, thank you. Also, my question to you was, you mentioned something about Krishna being silent and leaves people alone, not in the exact words, maybe I didn't catch them. I was wondering if you can expand a little bit more on that, if there is time, if you don't mind. Krishna not responding, not... okay, thank you. Can't hear you at all.
If you go to a teacher and you don't listen to anything the teacher says, the teacher will not give you any instructions. If you listen to something...
Irmila, I'm sorry, I have to interrupt you. For some reason, your volume drops so low that we can't hear you. I don't know why.
I'm not sure...
Is it better now?
Now you've got it.
Okay, I'm practically eating the microphone. Okay, so that the situation is that Krishna is responsive. Prabhupada says Krishna is very responsive. So that means that if you ask Krishna a question and he gives you an answer and you're not willing to follow those instructions, then he's not going to be so eager to give you instructions anymore. So for the conditioned souls, who have access to the Shastra, but choose to just try to lord it over material nature and have a materialistic life, then Krishna is not giving them any prompting to, in a way that will help them achieve their real desires. He's just not going to do it. He'll allow them to get their material facilities, he'll sanction it, but he won't really help them spiritually. So Krishna will help us spiritually to the extent that we're willing to take that help. Bhakti Sanatana Saraswati gives the example that the guru throws a rope into the well where we're drowning, but you've got to grab the rope. We have to take those instructions. So when we get some indication
whether it's reading in the Shastra, whether it's the instruction of Guru, whether it's Krishna in the heart, whether, you know, however Krishna communicates with us, the more that we take those instructions, the more we follow those instructions without fear, Masuchaha, the more that Krishna will give us instructions.
Could I give some example?
Sure.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay. There's one conversation in New Vrindavan back in 76 or so where some of the devotees were mentioning how the Mayavadis and the current gurus, and they're still saying, of course, that your God, or they directly speak with God. And so Prabhupada said, well, what do you tell them? You know, like that, what will you tell them? Like, how will you defeat them? So different things were mentioned, and somebody quoted this, someone said that. I said, no. You know, a little defiantly, he said, no. Finally, he said, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti porvakam dadami buddhiyogam tam yenamam. Krishna doesn't speak with them because they are not, Tesham satata yuktanam, they're not engaged in the service. So that was, he considered the perfect pramana to smash the idea that people are communicating or claiming to communicate or saying they are God or you are God. They're not. And this is, you know, of course, if they don't accept Bhagavad Gita, that's another thing. But this was the, probably considered the his first choice for smashing that idea.
Thank you very much. That's excellent. That, you know, if we're going to say I'm communicating with God, then we have to first be in his service and surrender to him.
Bhajatam priti purvakam, not only in service, but priti purvakam, in loving, like that, priti purvakam. So, anyway, that, I'm sure at other times other things could be used, but this is like, boom, hits it on the head.
My question was, can you hear me? Hello? Can you hear me?
We hear you.
Hello?
Okay,
my question more was on Krishna not responding to non-devotees, more on that even though he is in the heart of everybody, including non-devotees, and you mentioned something to the effect that he's silent. That was
Prabhupada says here that he's silent, but that is a response. That's not a non-response. That is a response. So, If you ignore me, then I may be silent. That is a response. It's not a non-response. It is a response.
That's in the 10th canto, in the description of autumn, how, you know, sometimes the rivers, the streams run, and sometimes they don't, like the pure devotees, sometimes they speak, other times they're silent.
Yes, that's a very good example, that the great souls, because the... That's an example of the great souls. But both the devotees and Krishna, they're observing the austerities of speech. And one of the austerities of speech is that it must be beneficial. In order for speech to be beneficial, the other party has to be interested in what you have to say. If the other party is not interested in what you have to say, then even if you give them good advice, they'll become angry. We've seen this over and over again in our own lives, whether how we respond or how other people respond to us. So if I give somebody advice that they're not ready to hear, or they don't have the kind of relationship with me where they trust me, then they just become angry. So better that I'm silent. So sometimes I may see, oh, someone's doing such and such, and if they just made this little adjustment, they would be happy and they'd solve their problem. But if I bring that information to them, they may become very angry. So better that I'm silent. Why should I make them angry and damage my relationship with them? I can just speak to them up to the level of how much they're willing to hear me, which depends on a loving relationship. It depends on a relationship of love and trust. So if there's people with whom we have a full relationship of love and trust, then we can give any instructions. So once we're fully engaged in Krishna's service with love, then he gives all the instructions. And you know, his silence is a reciprocation. It's what they want. They want him to be silent.
you know? I mean, sometimes even as a devotee, we may think that way. Oh, Krishna, just go away. I don't want to hear anything from you anymore. You know, the non-devotees, they actually want that.
Can you also comment that the super soul is speaking? Maybe Krishna is not directly speaking. Prabhupada gives the example of the thief or anyone doing some mischievous scientist. He's working very hard. And then Prabhupada said they consider intuition, but actually the super soul says, now you do this, now you do that. So there is some speaking going on, but maybe not directly Krishna.
It's not, you could say it's not directly Krishna, but also if you look in this purport, Prabhupada's saying that for the non-devotees, he's sanctioning. So he's silent in ultimate spiritual matters. He's not silent 100%. So he's, yes, of course, Krishna's still giving instruction and sanctioning for the foolish things that people want to do and giving them the intelligence, matasmatir gyanam apohanam cha. He's giving everybody, he's giving even to the animals, what to speak of all the human beings. But he's not giving the real intelligence how to really solve the problems of life. He may say, okay, you hated this person in the last life. This life you want to kill him. Here's your opportunity. But that's not the real instruction that, that Krishna wants to give.
Thank you very much, both of you. Thank you very much. And yeah, that was good that he's sanctioning by not speaking on continuing their sinful lives according to their desire, and then thus they will end up and getting their karma, I suppose, as they deserve, and then come to their senses when the right time comes with the mercy of a pure devotee or devotees, I guess. Thank you very much. Others can ask you more questions.
Fabulous.
Hare Krishna, I had a question. Can you hear me?
Yes.
You talked about the middle mind. Could you elaborate a little bit on that and where could we read about it?
I will elaborate on that on Saturday.
Okay. Is there
and
a place we could read about it?
There's a handout on the website for Saturday, which gives a list of scriptural references that you can look up where you can read more about it.
Thank you.
Yeah, if everybody could please go there, and or if you need any help with that, let me know. It's really good.
Okay, I will end here. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Well, thank you, Mother Imala.
Thank you, Mother Imala.
Also wanted to thank everybody here for trying to keep the noise level down. We had, 28 devotees on right now. So thank you so much. Only with your cooperation can we go on like this. So, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada, Haribol.
Haribol.